You can't look at a new movie trailer listing without seeing a movie about zombies somewhere in there. It seems like there's three or four that come out every year. I noticed as I was doing some research for this talk, there's a lot of zombie stuff on the internet that may surprise you. There's actually an International Zombie Awareness Society, which is based in Pikeville, Kentucky, of all places. And if you ever, anybody ever been to Pikeville, Kentucky, it's like a wide spot in the road. It's about as big as my thumb. And not much there. So it's a great place for the Zombie Awareness Society to be based, I think. A number of you have read or seen the movies for the Twilight series. I know there's some fans out here. You might be closeted still, so I'm not going to out you or anything. But I know that there's some folks who are fans of that stuff. And it seems like we want to sort of study this tension. There seems to be this tension that exists, or we want there to be this tension between death and life. And is there maybe some sort of middle ground that folks want to explore? There's not, by the way. That's not how it works. But in our culture, we kind of like that notion that maybe there is this middle ground, and maybe there's something that we should look at in that regard. So, last night we started our talk as we are thinking about zombie Christians, and we're looking at people who are alive but who look dead. And last night we talked about sin and how sin makes alive people look dead. This morning we want to talk about the law, and I have to sort of define that term for us, so we'll get to that in just a second. But this morning we're going to talk about the law and how the law makes alive people look dead. You have your Bibles open to the book of Galatians. Let's look in Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading at verse 20. Let me give you a little bit of background before we read. Paul the Apostle is writing to the Galatians. Actually, let me give you a lot of background before we read, and let me pray before we do that. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look to your word this morning. I pray that you would move us and show us the great love that you have for us, and show us what an alive relationship with you looks like. And help us, Father, to want that again. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In the Old Testament, God gave the law. He gave a list of stuff that people who were going to be followers of followers of God in the Old Testament would do, and also a list of things that they would not do. All right? There's a big old long list. There's whole books of the Bible devoted to describing the law for us and explaining what was in the law and what was not in the law, what's okay and what's not okay. All right? Encapsulated in the Ten Commandments, which is in the book of Exodus, but not exclusively the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of other stuff that's in there. Okay? The law was set up, and later on in here in the book of Galatians, it says the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. So the law was established so that we would know that we can't do it. Okay? The whole point of the law was for us to try to do things that would earn our way to God, that would make God happy with us, and for us to fail in the process of doing so. And we were good at the failing part. We messed it up all along, okay? So the law was there to teach us who God was and to teach us about God's perfect, holy nature, but it was also there set up for us to recognize, wow, we need something more than this because we can't do it. If it's up to us and the keeping of this real strict structure and getting things right all the time, ain't none of us got it. Okay? We're going to fail every time. So the point of the law was to show us how holy God is, but then also to show us that we're not holy, that we can't do it ourselves. Fast forward then to the New Testament. Jesus comes. Jesus says in Matthew, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Everybody else in the Old Testament was trying to be a fulfillment of the law, trying to be perfect, trying to keep the law. Every last person failed. Every last person in this room would fail in that regard. But Jesus came and said, I'm the fulfillment of the law. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. I came for you to see that only through someone who is fully God and fully man can the law be kept. Okay? Now, the book of Galatians comes around. The Christians in Galatia came under a teaching from folks in that were Jewish Christians, and the Jewish Christians wanted those who were not Jewish, after they became Christians, to start keeping the law again, to start trying to go back through all that list of rules. And so the folks who trusted Christ in Galatia, it's like they got off in their thinking because they thought, you trust Jesus, but then you also got to do all this other stuff still that we've failed at for thousands of years. And so Paul is writing to the book of, to the people of Galatia, and he's saying, look, how is it that you can trust God and accept eternal life and receive eternal life and yet then try to go back into this dead structure that we've failed at for thousands of years? Paul's kind of frustrated with him when he writes this book. Look over in Galatians 1:6. Paul gets done with the introductions and he says, grace and mercy to you. I'm Paul. I'm an apostle. And then in verse 6 he says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So it's like, Paul, that's the first paragraph. He says, dear Galatians, I'm amazed at how things are going for you here. Look over in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, you foolish Galatians. Paul's really upset about this. I mean, this is not something, when you use the word foolish, when Scripture uses the term foolish, it's not something that you mess around with. I mean, a fool in Scripture is somebody who ends up dying and going to hell. I mean, Paul's upset about this. So when he's talking here, this is something he's exercised about. This is something that really matters to him. Okay? Now, let's go back to the original passage I asked you to look at, which is Galatians 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. That will make sense in a little while. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. That's a big deal. Christ died needlessly. How many of you can think of a marriage? Think of a marriage that people that you know that are married, and it's like they're not really in love anymore. Anybody know? I mean, I'm not asking for a show of hands for that, but maybe you know somebody who's like their husband and wife, they've been together for a while. They just don't seem to be, they don't seem to love each other the way that they used to. It used to be that there was this great love between them. You could see it when one was talking about the other. It's like their eyes would light up. But now it's like, it's not there. They seem to have lost this love relationship that they have. Well, in essence, God is saying that He wants a vibrant love relationship with us all the time. But in this passage, the reason that folks got away from that they lost that relationship, was because they were trying to do religious stuff that they thought would please God. They were trying their best. After they've trusted Christ, after they've accepted His gift, free gift of salvation, that it says talks about in Romans, they then were trying to do religious stuff because somehow that would make God even more pleased with them than He already was. All right? Is there anything that you can do that would make God love you more than He loves you right now? Anything. Is there anything that you can do? No. No. No! Understand? God loves you. I mean, loves you. Get it? Is there anything that you can do that would make God love you less than He loves you right now? Anything. No. Say it with me. No!
No!
There you go. God, I mean, loves you. I mean, adores you. I mean, thinks about you all the time. That's how He feels about you. If you're obeying Him completely, if you're walking right with Him, if you are completely in fellowship with Him, He loves you. If you have turned your back on Him and you've said, I'm going to forsake the fountain of living waters, and I'm going to do my own thing over here. Maybe it's sin that I'm doing. Maybe it's keeping that religious structure that I know I'm supposed to keep because that's what I've always been told. God still loves you. I mean, loves you. You can't do anything to have God love you more. You can't do anything to have God love you less. Get it? Now, the God that we serve feels that strongly about us. But sometimes we don't feel that way about the God that we serve. Sometimes we get into ruts. Sometimes we read our Bible and check off that box because that was something we know we're supposed to do today, and forget all about what was there, and go to church because we know that's what we're supposed to do, and go to youth group because we know that's what we're supposed to do and our parents make us do it, and tell other people about Jesus in this kind of half-hearted way because we're commanded to share our faith. And I don't know. What are the other things that are part of that structure that you're supposed to do? How many of us are in a rut? How many of us our eyes don't light up when we talk about God anymore? How many of us, when we talk about God, it's like, yeah, I know He loves me. I know He's there. I know He's interested in what I'm doing. But boy, it sure doesn't seem like I hear from Him. It sure doesn't seem like I interact with Him. I heard a joke. Not really a joke. It's just a funny story. This little old lady and man, and husband's driving the car, and wife's sitting in the passenger seat. And it's, you know, in the older cars have a bench seat. Anybody familiar with that? It's like two bucket seats like we have now, but there was one seat across, and you could actually fit three people on the front seat. I drive a 92 Oldsmobile, and my 92 Oldsmobile has room for a third person in the front seat, and I'm really pleased by that. So, couple's driving along, and they see this other young couple sitting there in the front seat of a convertible, and the top's down, and the young lady's sitting right beside the gentleman who's driving the car, and she's like looking up into his eyes. She's leaning on him. Of course, she got her seatbelt on. I'm sure that she's, you know, got a lap seatbelt on or something. But it's like, you know, they're just in love, obviously in love. They're right there together, and the older couple sees them sitting at a traffic light, and the wife says to the husband, We don't seem to have that anymore. Why is it that there's this huge space between us? And the husband's driving the car, and he says, "Honey, I haven't moved. I'm not the one who's scooted farther away." To a certain extent, it's like God is that way with us. We have gotten so involved in the structure, in the things that we have to do. We got to go to church on Sunday morning, and we got to sit a certain way, and we got to smile when the preacher tells funny jokes, and we got to, you know, do all this stuff. Well, is there life in it? Is there that love relationship that we're talking about? Do you get fired up? Do your eyes light up when you talk about Jesus? Do your eyes light up when you share about God? Or is it just the structure? Because if you recognize that it's not there, that all you got is sort of structure right now, that's not to say that you've lost your salvation. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But if you're there and you don't get fired up about Jesus now, it's like Jesus is saying, "I haven't moved, honey. That's not the deal." All right? So Paul gets fired up about this. He later on in chapter 3, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? The only thing I want to find out from you is, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Has anybody ever been able to breathe life into a dead corpse? Has anybody ever been able to resuscitate a dead corpse by doing CPR after that body has been dead for a couple hours? No. That's not. You can't breathe life back into something that's dead. But if there's life there, if there's still a flicker of life that remains, then CPR can bring that back. Well, listen, God is saying to you, "I want a love relationship with you. I don't want you to keep a bunch of rules." In the book of Isaiah, God is talking about the people that are keeping rules and they're just doing this outward structure. And He says, you do your sacrifices and you offer your prayers and it makes me sick. It makes me just want to vomit because I'm so sick of hearing about your dead, dry stuff. God doesn't want that from us. God wants a whole heart from us. God has given His whole heart to us. And what He's asking for in return is a love relationship with us. Not keeping the law. Not this dead structure. Turn over in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, for the people receiving that verse, they could have taken that one of two ways. When he talks about the old things passing away, for some folks, maybe the folks that are coming from a Jewish background, for them, they would understand that what Paul was saying there is the old things have passed away. That's talking about the old keeping of the law, the old structure, the old forms, the old sacrifices, the old rituals, the old all that stuff that we used to have to do in order to demonstrate our love for God. We don't have to do that anymore. Now we have this relationship with Him. All right? So the old things have passed away. Okay? If they were coming from a pagan background, which most of the other folks were, they would understand that what is being abolished there, what's being done away with, is their sinful rituals that they would do, the pagan things that they were coming from, the false worship that they were doing. It doesn't matter whether what you were coming from was a law background or whether what you were coming from was a pagan background. This passage says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. It's almost like capital letters should be there. He's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Young people, do you understand? When you trust Christ, you are completely remade. You are a new creature. I mean, from the bottom of the soles of your feet to the top of whatever hair you have left. That's how it works. You're completely new. Now, we try our best to stop being completely new sometimes. We try our best to, after we've been remade, it's like, well, but I'm still supposed to go to church, right? Well, yeah, you're still supposed to go to church. I'm still supposed to, like, go to visitation on Tuesday nights. Well, yeah, you're still supposed to do that. But the rationale for doing it is completely different now. It used to be you had to do that stuff because that was the thing that God wanted. It used to be, back in the law, that was the thing that you understood God wanted. All along, that wasn't what God wanted. God wants your heart. God wants everything about you. God wants what you've got. That's what He's asking for. Now, turn back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. You're going to be surprised, but we're almost done this morning. I want to make sure that we're on the same page now. What we're talking about is life coming back into your love relationship with God. We're talking about there being we're talking about not a discipline, but we're talking about a relationship. We're talking about God loving you with a capital L and you responding to that love that He has for you. How many of you, when you were a kid, you remember getting like a note passed to you from a friend? And that little note said, I don't know if they even do this anymore or not. When I was a kid, they would do this. You get a little note and it would say, I like you, do you like me? And then a little yes or no box. How many of you got such a note as that? Raise your hands. Come on now. How many of you, okay, put your hands down. How many of you sent a note like that? Okay. Now, make a confession. I sent notes like that. I never received notes like that, okay? That's okay. It's all right. I know who I am. I'm fine with that. But you would send those little notes, and now I guess you do text messages or something. I don't know. What is it the kids do these days? But anyway, you would send that stuff out. Well, it was like you put yourself out there on a limb a little bit, you know? There's kind of that idea. It's like I'm walking out on a limb here. I'm expressing an interest in you. I don't know if that interest is going to be responded, and I don't know how to subtly just find out. So it's like, just tell me, am I barking up the wrong tree here? You know, and be like, yes, no, no. What's that? Make up a third box? Yeah. That. Nathan says, there's a not now box somewhere in there. Not just yet kind of box. Let's see what you look like in a couple of years, and then maybe I'll get back to you. That kind of thing. So, yeah. I mean, but that's, in essence, that's what God has done with us. It's like He's put Himself out there. He's already done what it takes. There's another passage in the New Testament in Romans that says, He who has not withheld His Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? It's like He's already shown you He's willing to go the distance for you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. It's like there's not much else He needs to do in order to prove this great love that He has for us. Let me tell you what He wants to hear from us now, okay? This is Galatians 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. There's that structure. There's that discipline. It's like, okay, God sent forth Jesus, but Jesus came as part of the law. He was still under the law at the time that He was born. In order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Understand this. In Scripture, God didn't, He talked about His children, but He didn't really talk specifically about folks being His sons. He didn't really talk specifically about folks being entering into this love relationship with Him just yet. So in verse 5, He says, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. That word Abba, it's not just a singing group from the 70s, but the word Abba originally means, I mean, the picture there is like it's kind of like saying daddy. I mean, it's that idea of Him call, some of you are singing Abba songs right now. I can see it. I can see the wheels turning. Scripture says that the word Abba is like daddy. It's like He's saying, I want you to call out to Me. I want you to crawl up in My lap sometimes. I want to be able to smell your hair. That's the kind of relationship I want with you. Okay? God is not saying, I need followers. He's not saying, I need slaves. He's not saying, I need mindless servants. He's saying, I want sons and daughters. I want relationship. I want you to call out to Me, and I want to be able to answer you, and I don't want anything between us. Right now, some of us have this structure that's between us. We think about God, and there's this thing between us and God called church. Okay? Nothing wrong with church. Church is good. Church is when God's people get together. But some of you think, well, I can't understand the Bible when I read it myself. I need to find out what a preacher says about it. I can't understand, you know, something in Scripture, so it's like I need to talk to someone else about it. Y'all, you need to talk to God about it. I'm not interested in what the guy who wrote the commentary at the bottom of your page says. I want to know what you say about it because you and God have this interaction. And if you don't understand something that you read in Scripture, it's like don't. I'm not saying don't come to me because I'm here to help you, but I'm not the authority. You have, as a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that wrote these words inside you. We're in this process of growing this love relationship between us and God. And God is in this process of growing this love relationship with us. He wants you. He wants you to call out to Him. Y'all didn't realize how desirable you are. Last night we talked about how sin just is like, it's all He can think about is you. He wants you. And so we've got sin over here, but we've got the eternal Creator, the God of heaven, who's saying, I want you. Forget about that. That's nothing. Don't try to fill up your wheelbarrow, your leaky wheelbarrow with stuff. I'm talking about drinking from the river. I'm talking about this fountain of living waters. There's no comparison between those two. And yet, for some reason this, because it's something we can see and something we can touch and someone we can talk to, we think that structure is what we're looking for sometimes, rather than this mysterious sort of unseen relationship with God. Right now, God is writing you a little note. And he's saying, I love you. I like you. I love you. Do you love me? Yes or no? And there's a little box sitting there. And he's put himself out there for you. It's like, this is that little note. He's tossed it out there. He's laid it on your desk and sort of walked away. And he's sitting off to the side and he's looking. And he wants to know how you're going to respond. It's cool to be pursued like that, I'm told. No, I'm just playing. But, you know, I mean, there's this idea of, like, it would be really nice to know that someone thinks about you that way. Well, I'm telling you this morning that you've got God thinking about you that way. It's like, man, I want to get with that person. I want to have this relationship with that person. But we've got all these other things calling out our names. We've got all this other stuff tugging us the wrong way. All right? Two things that take away the life that you have. Two things that make alive people look dead. One is sin. The other is law. Young people, Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it because we can't. He wants now, because he has fulfilled the law, he wants you to crawl up on his lap. He wants to sit and hang out with you for a while. He wants to chill with you. And he's calling out your name today. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for this great love that you have for us. When we think about you dying on the cross for our sins, and we think about the men driving the nails into your hands, and we think about you saying, Lord, forgive these men. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Forgive them. The fact that you could love those men that much, the fact that you could love those men who were crucifying you, and that you could express that in the midst of your agony, shows us the great love that you have, not just for us, but for the whole world. And I pray that you would forgive us for turning our affections away from you and turning them towards this tired, old structure. Forgive us, Lord, for getting into that rut. Forgive us for getting lost in the mix. I pray that you'd help us to recognize that what you want is us. You don't want our stuff. You don't want our schedule. You don't want our money. You don't want our jobs. You want us. Forgive us for not giving you us. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us today to recognize our need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.